The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Looking forward to today's show. Dave Pasch, voice of the Arizona Cardinals, also has done a ton of college basketball. He is a Syracuse alum. I'm sure he's going to be gloating today. We'll have Dave Pasch with us here at 10:20 to talk about his view of Sam Bradford, Mike Lennon. Reports that the Cardinals are trying to trade up as high as number two, the number two overall pick in the draft, and much, much more with Dave Pasch, and also March Madness, Sean Miller, U of A, all of that. That comes up at 10:20. Peter King is with us today. Peter will Skype in at 10:35. We'll be live with Peter, and we'll talk with Peter about his view. He has written that he did not like the Sam Bradford move by the Arizona Cardinals. I will ask Peter, why is that? What direction should they have gone? Mike Lennon and also Tyrann Mathieu, no longer here. Tyrann Mathieu signing with the Houston Texans and all things around the Cardinals. Also want to talk to Peter. This is the week that the Supreme Court could announce that they're striking down the 25-year law that prohibited sports gambling in states. This could be the week where that is struck down and you would be allowed to go put money down on the Diamondbacks game against the Giants as easily as the Suns against the Cavaliers, as easily as the Cardinals game. This is coming, and it could be this week. So I want to talk to Peter about that. I'm somewhat grumpy with the Pac-12 conference on a lot of levels. We've talked for years about their ineptitude with their television contract and how this is part of the problem. It's not the only problem. And now the Pac-12 is trying to come back and put out there how they've got ways to fix the game of basketball. And their stance is, look, Oregon made it to the Final Four last year. Why are you guys hammering away on us? We've got things figured out. It's not as bad as it seems to be. I don't know. When you look at a 1-8 record in bowl games in football, and then you look at the disaster that was March Madness, that's not good. And is the inferior television contract a big part of it? So that's going to be later on in the show as well. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, guys, here on a Monday. It's a fresh week. Protect what matters most. That is your family. That is your loved ones. Have you checked into life insurance? If you have not, you can go get a free quote online at sagicornow.com. Protect what matters most and do it at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. All right, Dave Pasch here in about 10 minutes. So everything around March Madness wasn't the only story of the weekend. I got caught up in Tiger Mania yesterday, and then he faded down the stretch, but it's setting up nicely for the Masters. Tiger Woods has become back on top of a storyline that we're going to be following here, and it's great for the game of golf. The Cardinals introducing Sam Bradford, signing Mike Lennon, and now Adam Schefter has reported that the Cardinals may be one of the teams trying to get all the way up to number two to look at a quarterback. Now, which quarterback would they want to go with? If the Cardinals do move up to number two, obviously they'd have to part with number 15. So what else would they have to give up? When you see the way that the trades have gone down, in particular over the weekend, where the Jets moved up to three, the Colts go down to six, and it involved three second-round picks. Three! I mean, that's really how you restock yourself when it comes to getting a team that is older. The Cardinals have some fine young talent. Don't mistake me here. They have some fine young talent. But at what price does Steve Keim go way over the top and mortgage the future of the franchise based off of the quarterback? Is the NFL changing, where free agency has been known as the place you go to fix mistakes that you missed on when it comes to the draft? You go to free agency and you find other people's cast-offs, or you find guys with bad contracts, or you find guys that have been banged up, dinged up, i.e. Tyrann Mathieu, or you find guys that just don't fit anymore, i.e. Sam Bradford, i.e. Mike Lennon. That's what free agency is. Free agency is finding a guy like Justin Pugh and plugging him in on your offensive line and saying, okay, we've got this fixed for now. But at some point, have we really found ourselves a five-year answer? There's no five-year deals anymore in the NFL. It is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business, and Steve Keim has missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. So, you know, you look at this, and when I first heard the Adam Schefter report yesterday, and he said a team like the Arizona Cardinals could be in position, or the Buffalo Bills, to trade all the way up to number two with the Giants. So what is it that the Cardinals would have to give up, A? B, why is it they're so enamored with any of these quarterbacks? If one of these quarterbacks, and I've sat here and said they've got to address it. So which one is it that they're trying to address? Is it that the Jets are infatuated with Baker Mayfield, as is being reported, and the Cardinals are trying to get in front of them? If you're the Cleveland Browns, you're sitting there at 1-4. It's really interesting what happened over the weekend, because the Jets move up from 6-3, and they end up moving 3 second-round picks. Well, if you're the Cardinals and you're trying to get up from 15, and a guy like Adam Schefter says they are trying to get up to number two, he just doesn't throw stuff up against the wall. So which guy is it that you want? You know, I've said I like Josh Rosen in certain capacities, and others say he's not the best of the four that are out there. Josh Allen seems to me to be the wild card of all of them because of the competition that he played against. But then you'll say, well, yeah, but look at Carson Wentz and who he went up against and how that's worked out. Can't always work itself out. If you miss on a quarterback and you move that high up and you trade away so many picks, then you are hamstrung for a long time. Really interesting there. The March Madness side, you know, I'm sitting here today with no Arizona, no North Carolina, no Virginia, no Michigan State, no Xavier, no Cincinnati. It felt like every time I looked up, there was an upset that was going on. So it's hard to say that outside of Maryland, Baltimore County, and what they did to Virginia the other night, that all of these, you look at and say, wow, this is the greatest upset in the history of college basketball, or this is the greatest upset in the history of sports. What happened the other night for Baltimore County was one of the great moments that I've ever seen in sports, not just in college basketball. It wasn't. It was something where the Terriers come out, and I don't know if it's the...
No, the Retrievers,
the Retrievers,
Brad.
What did I say?
The Terriers. You got the breed wrong.
The Retrievers.
Like it's a dog. Like it matters.
I looked up. No, it does. I should get that right. The Retrievers, look at the font on their uniforms. I love the fact that the front of the uniforms has got the calligraphy, the way that it's set up. I think that's cool. And the way that they played against Kansas State the other night, last night, they just, to me, look like in the last 3 minutes they hit the wall. They just ran flat out of gas. And Virginia on Friday night had the look of, I can't believe that we just showed up here and we thought we were going to roll through this. And they got worked. In fact, Kansas State woke up their team and pulled them into the meeting room. They're supposed to be in bed asleep. And they said, no, get up and you need to watch this. You need to see what is going on here. Here's the team that you're going to go up against. And so for them to go as far as they did, to just be 16-1, didn't really matter last night to me. I think everybody was rooting for them to win again. Kansas State, blah. If you're a Kansas State fan, fine. We want to see more Maryland-Baltimore County. U of A played Maryland-Baltimore County, and we kind of laugh about that when it comes to a scheduling point. And that's something that even myself, I've got to do a better job of. I've got to do a better job of looking at the schedules. When I've talked about directional schools from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, it's a different landscape. It just is. It's not like it used to be where these power conferences just roll right through people. I'm not going to excuse away Buffalo, by the way.
Virginia, Brad, in basketball is a lot like the academies in football that run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. If you can get them behind... Virginia cannot score. They've played great defense, but they've proven all year that they have lived with their defense. And Maryland-Baltimore County basically didn't miss too many shots and put Virginia behind the eight ball. And you could tell, even when it was like a 12-point game with 12 minutes left, that Virginia didn't have a chance to win that game. They just didn't, because they're not built that way.
It was like the U of A game. U of A game was not close.
Not at all.
It wasn't. It was not. U of A had no shot with about 15 minutes to go in the game. And and the announcers, I think it was Brian Anderson in particular, mm-hmm. and Chris Webber, that were pointing out the U of A players were yelling at each other on the floor. Sean was trying to call timeouts. There was a lot of the one-on-one stuff. What Matt Muehlbach told us about it, they don't know how to make entrance passes this day and age with kids.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, how many times they throw it over DeAndre? It's like, come on. This has nothing to do with Buffalo's defense. This is, you cannot make a simple entry pass. And then, of course, when it comes to U of A fans, they just, like, conveniently forget and go right into, well, Arizona State didn't get as far as we did. No, you're a national embarrassment. You are.
U of A's whole season was so schizophrenic, though.
No.
I mean, they went over to the Bahamas, played horrible, had an up-and-down regular season, got their act together, won the Pac-12 tournament, and then flamed out against a double-digit seed in Buffalo.
So everywhere I've been, it's that Sean's going to get replaced.
I would think so.
Everywhere that I've been. Okay, so, but you have a president of the university who said, over my dead body. And you also have the amount of money that is due. And the whole point of, well, they don't have any players. Here's the thing on that. Guys transfer all the time. You can stack a team pretty quickly. You can go find players pretty quickly in this day and age. So I don't know how quickly they will come together. But I don't buy into the whole, well, they're not going to be able to get anybody to go to the U of A. Now, I don't believe that Sean, my own humble opinion, Sean's not going to be the coach much longer. That's my own opinion. And when people talk on the air or on TV about Sean's going to go get a job at like Pitt or Connecticut, they obviously haven't heard the letters FBI. He's going to be unhirable until that situation gets cleared out. That's just a fact. Nobody on the college end is going to hire Sean if, in fact, the U of A move on from him. The fact that Lorenzo Romar didn't even wait for the tournament to end and take the job at Pepperdine tells you all you need to know on that front. Dave Pasch is next, and then Peter King. A couple of heavyweights coming up next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. We stream there as well, AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, Tuesday through Thursday with 16 airings a week. We appreciate the partnership with them. Let's turn our attention now. Dave Pasch is with us, Valley resident, of course, first and foremost, ESPN broadcaster, and the radio voice of the Arizona Cardinals. Most importantly today, he's a proud Syracuse alum. I like the fact that you were not rubbing people's nose in this. Over the weekend on social media, some are apt to do when their team goes on a run. But nonetheless, as you're getting ready for USC Western Kentucky, you had to be thrilled with the showing, correct?
Well, it's funny because, you know, a lot of us don't pay as close attention to our alma mater when we're busy with other things. And then all of a sudden when success happens, we all kind of jump in and start tweeting. And I was guilty of that, so... it is exciting what they're doing and, you know, surprising. I saw them play in person. Actually, we were in Washington for the Redskins game, got a chance to go to the Syracuse Georgetown game as a fan. I hadn't done that in a long time. And, you know, I really didn't think watching that game that they were a very good team, but, that defense, it's hard when you're not mm-hmm. used to it. It really is something that's just hard to simulate. And, especially when you are on a one-day, you know, preparation. That's why winning that first game is so important. And, you know, if they can somehow win this regional semifinal game, you know, they have an advantage in the Elite Eight because it's just hard to prepare for that in 24 hours.
You haven't seen Duke in person, have you? Did you do a Duke game this year?
I have not. I have not had Duke in person this year, no.
Okay. Any of the 16 that you have seen in person done games on in person this year? Do you recall?
Kansas,
I'm throwing them at you.
Yeah, trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, Kansas is the one that sticks out.
Didn't do Nevada. You didn't do Loyola.
I did not do. Had A&M against Arizona.
Yeah. They were good then.
They're finally playing like they should have been playing all year. I don't know what. Man, they got a couple NBA players. I don't know what happened there.
You didn't have Florida State. You didn't have Michigan.
Had North Carolina, but they're out, obviously.
Nova.
Did not have Villanova this year, no.
West Virginia. Wolfley probably gave you a hard time about them. Purdue. Clemson. I mean, that's the beauty of this year's tournament is you go up and down the bracket with everything that happened over the weekend and say, who are these guys or their national brand names that haven't really done much in recent years from my point of view? That's how I see this.
Well, look, it's good and it's bad. It's good for people that love the tournament, but I also think, you know, how do we get people more interested in the regular season? Mm-hmm. And why can't some of the endings we're seeing here, why can't we see those during the regular season? One of the things I'd love to see, I don't know that it'll happen, but I would love to see teams go back to scheduling out of conference a game in like mid-February. The Big 12 and SEC have kind of done it in late January, but something like mid-February where you play a really good team from another conference that's a tournament-type game. You're talking about Syracuse. I remember Syracuse when I was going to school there, they'd do a home-and-home with Kentucky or mm-hmm. with Michigan or with mm-hmm. UCLA in the middle of the Big East, and it was really cool. It was always on CBS. It just was kind of a neat thing, and it was a way to, I think, get more interest. And just think that, as long as the rules are what they are with the one and done, and people don't get – by the time people get attached emotionally, these guys are gone, and then you got to kind of start over again with getting to know a team. You'd love to find ways to get viewers to really latch onto a team before you get to March.
Well, it's like U of A and ASU, to your point, used to play Cincinnati and I think it was Louisville that would roll through here, and they'd call it the 7-Up Shootout. And that was 15, 20 years ago. I was still doing ASU games back then, and it was really cool to see them in February. It'd be the same weekend that they'd play U of A or ASU. They'd have that bye week. So I get that. I'm curious, Dave, from your point of view, did you expect U of A – nobody could have seen them losing to Buffalo like they did, but did you expect them to have a long run, or as you did their games, could you look at them and say, I just don't see it?
No, I thought they had a chance to have a deep run. I mean, I thought obviously the toughest game would be a Virginia game in the Sweet 16. Neither team is standing. I just thought that with DeAndre Ayton, who was the best player I saw watching college basketball either in person or on TV, and I had Arizona, you know, probably 10 times. So mm-hmm. I saw a lot of them. I just thought with him and with Alkins and Trier that, and their role players, that they had enough to make a deep run. And obviously it was, disappointing the way they played. Shocking, really, to get blown out in the first round.
Pac-12. So there's a lot being said and written. 1-8 in bowl games in football, 0-3 in March Madness. Is this a one-year deal? Oregon made it to the Final Four last year. From your point of view, you do a lot of Pac-12. Is this a trend within the conference that needs to have a deeper look taken at?
Well, it is interesting. A lot of people are saying, well, you've got the football, you got the basketball, and then you have all the Pac-12 networks. Like somehow they're all tied to, the Pac-12 networks are somehow tied to the success of the basketball team in the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure that I buy that. I mean, you're right. Oregon made it to the Final Four last year. Clearly, Pac-12 is sending as many players, if not more, to the NBA than other conferences right now. Look at some of the best players in the NBA and look at guys that, were drafted last year. I know Fultz, his issues, but, number one pick, Lonzo Ball, number two pick, Kyle Kuzma. I mean, those are just three guys off the top of my head, but and Jordan Bell's playing well for the Warriors. I still think that, and I know people have talked about the late starts for football, that impacts recruiting, and I'm sure that some of that's true. But, I think until, Oregon making the Final Four was a big deal, but I think until the Pac-12 wins a national championship, they're going to have the doubters, football and basketball. I mean, you're going to have maybe the top two quarterbacks taken for football, so it's the same thing. Why are there a lot of pros, but the teams aren't having that much success? And, clearly USC and UCLA need to be good in football again, consistently to, it can't just be Oregon that, carries the torch, or Washington, because of the brand, isn't as big as UCLA or USC. And that goes for basketball. And UCLA basketball needs to be good again, I think, too, just to raise the perception for fans.
That's always better when U of A and UCLA are relevant and not playing each other just once during the regular season. That's my own little personal jab. But
yes, agree.
You know, I mean, come on, guys. You can find some ways to not have that titanic Washington State U of A game and have the LA schools roll through. Dave Pasch is with us. So over on the Cardinals side of the street, Sam Bradford, Mike Lennon, Justin Pugh, what do you think? Tyrann Mathieu leaves. Give me an overview of free agency so far and what you like, maybe what makes you scratch your head around the Cardinals.
Well, I think they've done what they can, you know, leading up to the draft. I mean, I think they're trying to address as many needs as they can going into the draft. I mean, at the quarterback spot, okay, you didn't get Alex Smith, you didn't get Kirk Cousins, but, you know, Sam Bradford, I know it's obviously a big if, but if he's healthy, you're fine there. You know, he's shown when healthy, he's a good player. Mike Glennon's a backup. So, you know, I think they're going to identify a quarterback in the draft and do their best to get him. So if you do that, now you've got, you know, a guy that if Bradford's healthy, he can sit and watch, and you have maybe a Pat Mahomes type situation where, you know, for the year he's learning and growing and you get to watch him in practice and he doesn't have to play. But, you know, given the health history of Bradford, and that's why I think the Pugh signing helps. You need DJ Humphreys healthy. I'm sure they'll still address some of their offensive line stuff. You know, Veldier seemed to play better as the year went on, so I'm not sure, you know, what's going to happen there. You know, they still need to get some receivers. Clearly, that, you know, is the weak link of their offense right now. But, you know, I just felt last year, Brad, that, you know, they're 8-8. They had so many injuries.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have their best player. They're playing the third string quarterback. They still finished 8-8, so
right.
They're not far away. You know, they're really not. And you know, is Sam Bradford the guy that can get them over the top? I don't know, but I don't know that Kirk Cousins is either. I mean, any of the guys that were available were there's some risk involved. And I think all the guys in the draft, there's some risk involved. It's really hard to find a sure thing anymore. You know, the last, quote, sure thing that came into the NFL was Andrew Luck. Well, he's no longer a sure thing because of the injury. So it's just hard to find that guy.
It's interesting because Adam Schefter reported over the weekend that the Cardinals and Buffalo are both trying to get up to the number 2 overall slot in the draft. To me, 15-2, given that the Jets parted with 3 second-round picks to move all the way up to where they did, the price tag would be astronomical, but Adam Schefter is not somebody who throws mud up against the wall and sees if it sticks. And to list the Cardinals as a team trying to get to number 2 and talk about it openly, that really raised my eyebrows. Could you see that happening?
I could. I really could. I've said all along, even going, you know, back to probably the middle of the season, that I felt the Cardinals would identify a quarterback or two and say, we are going to do whatever it takes to get this player. You know, I think the Cardinals, there was a good chance they would have taken Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs jumped in front of them, and I think they said, you know, we can't, you know, last year we could get away with it because we had Carson and Stanton and Gabbard, you know, if needed. But I think you're getting to that point now where, you know, you need to find that next guy, and this draft has some of those guys that at least you can identify and say that's a franchise quarterback. You may be wrong because, you know, it's such a crapshoot, but
sure.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, yeah, you got to give up a lot, but that's, again, the Cardinals are close. They have vets, they have good vets, they have leaders, they have a nice nucleus. I think it's worth it if you get the right player, if it's the guy that you really want. Or you say, you know what, we love two guys that if for some reason Cleveland takes the guy at number 1 that we want, we're okay with this next guy because we've got them either equal or close enough.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to the Leinart pick and even the Jake Plummer pick, and if you miss on a quarterback, it just sets you back so far unless you're able to be very fortunate and find Kurt Warner out there. But you know, as much, and I'm with you, I've been saying for the last couple of years, you got to draft somebody at some point. You got to get somebody. Logan Thomas wasn't high enough, and it's just how many picks would Steve have to give up to get all the way up to 2 in this draft? That's the part that I guess to me concerns me a bit.
Well, and you know, you don't always have to give up picks this year too. I mean, you'd be
sure.
I'm sure be giving up picks next year, but you know, you mentioned the Matt Leinart draft, and obviously at that time, you know, Steve wasn't in yep. full control. And I think, you know, there was, I think there was a chance that Jay Cutler could have been the guy, but I think there was such a concern over, you know, the PR of, well, if Matt Leinart's available, you don't take him. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, this is before the Cardinals were good. So, yep. you know, Matt Leinart was exactly what they needed, the new stadium, all that. But, you know, I think if you ask Steve Keim at the time, he probably would have said, well, Jay Cutler was probably the better choice. And that turned out to be true. So, I you know, I think that, you know, in his tenure, he has not had that number one quarterback. And I think he wants that. And I think to win in the NFL, you've got to go find that guy. And if they get, again, I'm not saying they're going to make the trade because they're not stupid. They're not going to, you know, give up everything.
Sure.
And they're not going to do it if they don't love somebody. But I think, you know, there's enough talent that I think they're going to look at a couple of these guys and say, you know what, it's worth it. Because if we don't do it, the alternative is, you know, 500. And that's obviously not good enough.
It's always good to wrap with you. I appreciate you coming on and just kicking it around. Good luck with your broadcast sure. tonight and safe travels.
All right, Brett. Thanks, man. Take care.
Dave Pasch with us. Voice of the Cardinals, ESPN. He is in L.A. for USC in Western Kentucky. Peter King is scheduled to Skype in next. We'll get Peter's view on the Cardinals with Sam Bradford, Mike Glennon, and potentially trading up. That's all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now let's focus in on all things Arizona Cardinals with free agency behind them for the most part and the moves that were made. Not all warmly received. Sam Bradford, Mike Glennon, Tyrann Mathieu leaving, but all from a certain standpoint I think you can justify. It's just how do you piece it all together and what's next? Let's get Peter King's view. The MMQB, Monday Morning Quarterback. Go to MMQB.com. A lot of great content. SI.com, senior NFL writer. Right off the top, Peter, what do you make out of the quarterbacks, Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon, coming here to the Cardinals?
Well, Brad, I think they overpaid Sam Bradford in terms of his guarantee. I think it's a mistake, quite frankly, to guarantee a guy $15 million when over the last 5 years he's missed 53% of his games. He's just been hurt too much. And I like Sam Bradford. When he plays, he's very much worth it. I would have said, yeah, $20 million if he played 75 games out of 80. You know, but the fact is he's played 42 games out of 80. 38 games out of 80, excuse me. And that's missing too many games. So I like him. And if he stays healthy, I think he's a very good player. The way I probably would have tried to do the contract is to make it so that you could make $20 million. But in order for you to make $20 million, you got to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, you know, whatever, $5-6 million, whatever it is. But I think they guaranteed too much money.
You did a deep dive on Kirk Cousins and from the agent's standpoint. So I'm curious, do you have any background as to why the Cardinals overpaid from your view on Sam Bradford?
Well, I don't know. I have not talked to Steve Keim, so I don't know the answer to that. I spent a lot of time in the last 3 days working on Kirk Cousins.
Right, right.
I would just say this, Brad, that you know, I think Cousins Derby was very, very interesting. You know, I did something this morning in my column, kind of a lengthy story about why Cousins chose the Vikings and didn't choose Denver, Arizona, or the Jets. And at the end of the day, Cousins and his agent, Mike McCartney, were absolutely steadfast that the contract had to be fully guaranteed mm-hmm. and that the contract, you know, they didn't say this, but it was clear that if you wanted to get in this ball game, you had to guarantee Kirk Cousins more than Jimmy Garoppolo got in average salary, which is average per year, which is $27.5 million. So, you know, if you're going to be in the game, you had to pay that. And so I don't know whether Arizona didn't offer the guarantees. I just don't know the answer to it. I do know that with Minnesota, they got a fully guaranteed contract that made him the highest paid player in NFL history.
And that really is the big story, I think, for Cousins. Peter, I know you don't know how far down the rabbit hole the Cardinals went on Cousins, but is it fair to say they were in this till late, or were they pretty much eliminated early from the story that you've worked on? Do you know?
Well, I do know they were in the final three. I believe that they were three. They ended up really third out of four.
Mm-hmm.
And once they found out they were third, with no guarantee that they would get a visit from Cousins, you know, there's no use for them to be in it, because they then knew that, you know, Minnesota was probably the ideal place for them. And the Jets most likely, although I don't know this for sure, but most likely the Jets, you know, offered them the most. So if you're the Cardinals and you're sitting there and you're not sure that you're even going to get a visit from Kirk Cousins, and you're going to have to wait till the weekend probably to find out, at least till Friday, it's time to get out. And that's what Steve Keim did.
Okay, so you're sitting here in Arizona with Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon. Adam Schefter reported the Cardinals are one of two teams trying to move all the way up to number two for a quarterback. He didn't specify who, along with Buffalo. I don't see how Steve can put together all that to get to number two from 15. Obviously, you have to be next year and year after picks. Does that make sense to you? Are you hearing the same things, that the Cardinals are still trying to trade up in the draft to get a quarterback?
The only way it makes sense, and if Adam is correct, and I have no reason to think he's incorrect,
mm-hmm.
if Adam is correct, the only way that this makes sense is that Steve Keim has to think that, pick one of these four quarterbacks, whoever it is, Steve Keim has to think that it is that there's a quarterback here who he can get, who absolutely unequivocally is going to be a 15-year Cardinal quarterback. Now, let's say he thinks that. The only possible way he'll have a chance to do this, I believe, is to trade his 1 and 2 this year and his next 2 1s, mm-hmm. because they're just down too far. I don't know whether Dave Gettleman would take that. To move from 2 to 15, I think would really be troublesome for the Giants. But again, if you're going to set yourself up and give yourself 2 1s in each of the next 3 drafts, that's a very, very tempting thing. Now, again, I have no idea if that's what the offer is, but history tells you, when you're moving up for a quarterback and you're moving up half of the first round for a quarterback, you're not just doing that for 2 1s.
Right.
That's impossible. So, you know, I think the fact that the Cardinals are even in the game, assuming they are, tells me that there's a quarterback they love in this year's draft.
In this franchise, Steve Keim has not been in a position to draft a quarterback. He was not in control when Matt Leinart was taken. He wasn't around when Jake Plummer was taken. This is a franchise that's tried to do it through the Band-Aids approach. They hit on Kurt Warner. They missed on Derek Anderson and the Max Halls and John Skelton's and that whole era. They hit on Carson Palmer. It's really interesting to bring in somebody as damaged as Sam Bradford has been through his injury, and a guy like Mike Glennon, who so far has not shown much. To me, it does say that Steve is going for it. It's just at what price tag, or could they possibly go with these two next season and try to have success? This team went 8-8, Peter, with a bunch of injuries and not really a whole lot of playmakers outside of Fitz last year, and they still came close. They're not that far away.
Hey, Brad, by the way, you forgot Max Hall.
Yeah, Max Hall. There you go. Who could forget? Right.
Hey, Max Hall had his one moment of glory, didn't he? Didn't he beat Drew Brees?
His one moment, and that was it. That was the problem here.
Oh, that was an incredible thing. I'll tell you what, Ken Whisenhunt, when he retires, they ought to put on his coaching gravestone, got Max Hall to beat Drew Brees.
that will be his line. Tyrann Mathieu leaving. So this has been met with a lot of outrage by fans. I tend to look at the injury and productivity. The contract, the dollars sound as though they were about equal. What did you make out of Tyrann Mathieu leaving the Cardinals?
You know what? I think a lot of times, you know what happens with players? Players get mad at their teams for what they believe is kind of an over reduction of their salary.
Mm-hmm.
So players get mad at their teams, and they just say, that's it, I'm leaving. I don't know.
Oh, it was so close. It was so close. Peter on Skype. It was so close. We'll check back with Peter. Let's do that. Let's just check back with Peter. See if we can finish. See if we can finish with Peter. So Peter King is. We'll see if we can reconnect with him in a minute because I do. I am curious about that. Really interesting there. And again, if you're just joining us, the Cardinals are in a position where it's been reported over the weekend. Adam Schefter reported that the Cardinals are a couple of teams are trying to move all the way up to the number two slot in the NFL draft. And if they were to do that, to go after one of the quarterbacks, which quarterback, I don't know. I would say so far the outpour here of emotion from fans has been pretty much meh, Sam Bradford, Mike Glennon. Nothing too negative, nothing too positive. It's just been met kind of with, yeah, he's going to get hurt. That's why they have to get Mike Glennon here. But these are just two bridge quarterbacks that the Cardinals have tried to go with. And so it'd be interesting to see if they're able to move up in this draft. And it'll give us over the next month an opportunity to look closer at all these quarterbacks. You know, whether it's Baker Mayfield, that's been reported that Baker Mayfield has become the flavor of the week. If it's Sam Darnold, if it's Josh Rosen, if it's Josh Allen, or are the Cardinals better off not mortgaging the future on a quarterback? Because you can go a couple different ways. It took a couple of years for Jared Goff to finally hit his stride with the Rams. It took Marcus Mariota, and there's still those that aren't sure if Marcus Mariota can make it. We've seen what Blaine Gabbert turned into as a top 15 pick, but the Cardinals have never been this high to pick somebody. So it's interesting to see what direction they're going to go on this front. And, of course, you have Cleveland that's sitting there with the number one pick and the number four pick, and you put those two together, and they may end up with the quarterback and Saquon Barkley at number four. So a lot going on there. Peter going to make it? What do you think? We're close?
Brad, that I messed that connection up. I dropped the phone.
Peter King rejoins us via Skype. So let's go back on Tyrann Mathieu. You were talking about Tyrann Mathieu, Peter King with us, Tyrann Mathieu and his leaving the Arizona Cardinals. What was your view of that?
You know, to me, he's 24 years old. I think it's more likely than not that he's going to be really good again. I think what the Cardinals were looking for, judging by what Albert Breer wrote on our site last week, is they were looking for a reduction first by $3 million and then, or by $5 million and then by $3 million, and Mathieu wouldn't have any of it. I think, Brad, it comes down to this, that, and this is what has to be bothersome to a fan. You know, the Cardinals, basically, this was on, you know, even including Patrick Peterson, this was like Bruce Arians' guy. Mm-hmm. This was the guy who he not necessarily wanted to build the defense around, but, you know, he was the guy who Bruce Arians thought was the sort of, you know, sort of the physical and mental leader of that defense. And I think that's why this has to hurt the fans, because this is a guy who's 24 years old and they thought was going to be, you know, sort of the spiritual leader of this team in the Steve Wilks era. Now it's not to be.
We'll let you go off that, Peter. As always, we appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks.
Take care, Brad.
It's Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback via Skype, joining us. Where was Peter today, Eric, would we imagine? He was in a town car? New York City? Where did you find Peter?
I don't know. I don't know where he was, to be honest with you.
That was a back seat, right?
No, it looked like he was in the front seat of somewhere. I mean, I don't know.
I'm just always curious when Peter is Skyped in. There are times that if we showed you Peter before he jumps on the air, it would probably make TMZ, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
you're not going to be able to see me because the way the Skype is set up, my camera is not connected, but you can hear me.
That's right. That's right. We'll take a break here. We'll wrap things up on the other side. That's good stuff with Peter. Stay with us. A couple other things before we get out of here. So the Coyotes host Calgary tonight, and I'm becoming more and more interested in them because they are interesting to watch. They actually feel as though they've turned the corner. The record says that they have. And there's probably still going to be some tough slots along the way, but Rick Tockett won't be there tonight with a funeral and for his mother. And the Suns are off until tomorrow when they host Detroit. I don't know if you guys saw the fight with Jared Dudley and Marquese Chriss. I've said from day one of the Marquese Chriss pick, this guy is a foul machine, and he's not going to turn out to be anything special. And so far, I'm looking at him like, okay, what exactly do we have here? The good news is the Suns continue to lose and get beat on, and teams play like, I don't know, one or two starters, and they still beat the Suns. And I think there's going to be some stuff with Sean Miller here. The future for Sean Miller, he cannot feel as though he's on safe ground. On April 12th in Tucson, they're going to unveil a Lute Olson statue. Just remember that. That's going to be like the night of healing. I can see that coming. It's like, why would you guys even release this stuff in early March? It's coming. So there's that too. And then Tiger over the weekend getting ready for the Masters. I was very, very, very pleased to see that. Rory McIlroy ended up winning it, but some of the stuff from the weekend. Eric Sorensen produces on a daily basis, as does Jared Nielsen. Check out all of our content over on our website. There's a bunch of stuff up there on ASU and what they accomplished at the NCAA wrestling from an individual standpoint, put together by Jason Skoda. Good stuff there that fans are checking out, clicking onto, and reading. There'll be plenty of fresh content up as the day progresses. Every day we try to put up 3 or 4 new stories, things that we see around Arizona on a daily basis. We're self-funded. We thank those that sponsor us. You can check out all of our content at sports360az.com. Have a great Monday.